Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Guilty pleasures and growing pains with Nina and friends.
Take a shot or a sip if you got wet socks, wet pants. Take a shot or a sip if you just gave in and you drank every single day this week. I'm with you, Jen.
Mm-hmm. High five.
There's a new voice on the pod today, and it's one of our radio sisters, and I'm so excited she's with us because she's also the hero of the week. Jen BT.
Hey.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be on your podcast, Nina.
No, this is so
fun. Thank you.
Jen BT is a Lover's co-host on the 104.3 Jams morning show here at Intercom Chicago. So our girl Krista also is a part of that show, so we've probably talked about Jen a few times, so now she's here.
Yay, I love it.
She's our hero, though, because we've all got in a little extra bonding time this week. Because I know that there are people listening all across the country and around the world, but here in Chicago, we got like 18 inches of snow.
That's right. We had hella snow, didn't we, ladies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was too much.
We did, but it's funny because Ange usually drives me to work, and her car doesn't do very good in the snow.
Mm-hmm. My tires are little so hoopty. Bald. They're balder than Caillou.
What's Caillou?
He's a cartoon. I only know everybody else. I'm sure you'll know what I'm talking about.
Okay, I had no idea, but hey, there you go.
I only know because I'm a mom. So all you moms out there know. Meanwhile, and Ange was a nanny, so that's why she knows.
No, Ange is a child.
She made a face like, that was my show.
So that's why she wasn't driving this week, and that's why Jen was our angel, because she picked up Ange, then she would come get me, and I do feel a little bit like it's a miracle that we are all alive to tell the story.
In one piece.
And I'm not being mean with this following statement. I've managed to find two of the worst drivers in the entire world, and they are my friends, and they are in this room right now.
You know what? I'm not mad at you at that, because
I don't think it's true.
It's 100% true.
I think you're a bad driver.
You don't think you're a bad driver,
no,
Ange?
No.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Can you believe this?
How many times I've almost died in the car with Ange is unreal.
Me too. See, I know I'm a bad driver. I'm okay with it.
I respect that.
I'm learning. I haven't gotten better,
learning.
But I'm aware. I'm aware.
See,
it's an issue.
I respect the fact that you're at least owning your bad driver status. This one is in denial.
It's only because I have 10 different conversations going on in my head at any given time. And then add the extra bonus of having you awesome ladies in the car, because I'm always driving alone. So now, yeah, I'm excited. We're catching up, blizzard bonding. And now, yeah, I'm not paying attention to the road. I'm paying attention to the 10 conversations in my head and then talking to you ladies.
So it's 12 conversations, 12 all
conversations.
Happening.
That's a lot.
You're good at math.
I mean, it's unreal because she's so unfazed by it, though. And there's like almost another level of respect for it. Because when I'm in the car with Ange, I really do get nervous. But for some reason, Jen, when I'm with you, I'm not as nervous. And maybe it's because I'm in the back seat. So I have like something in front of me.
And I have a bigger car. It's like a bus.
Yeah.
So maybe you feel more protected and
in
safe.
In the SUV.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even when she hits the side of her door on her way out of the garage.
Oopsie. Yeah. See, that's the thing. Like, we were literally leaving outside of the garage, and I see Jen's car going real close to the side, and I go, and I thought she was gonna stop and like fix it. Nope, all of a sudden, as she hits the side of the thing, I turn around to Nina, and Jen just goes, oh, did I just hit
story of my life. Yeah, and that's like, my legit reaction.
What just happened?
Yeah, but see, and now you understand what it feels like when you're cutting off people in your car and almost getting into accidents and running over curbs and all of the above.
Okay, curbs are the only thing I've hit in the car with you in there. I can't see the floor. We've talked about this many times. That's not my fault.
I just get nervous because Ange texts a lot while she's driving.
Yes.
Maybe I'm worse of a driver, though, because I'm not texting. Like, I'm literally looking at the road, still making mistakes. And I know you guys are going to go through the audit of all the things I've done in only 4 days of driving with me for less than 20 minutes.
I don't want to make this all a bash, Jen's all good. Driving.
Funny.
I
know they're kind of funny, actually.
I think today's was my favorite. I think today's was my absolute favorite because we were, I mean, Angie can tell you about how she ran red lights because she didn't want to wait.
Yeah, Jen would just show up to a red light and be like, "And nobody's here. I'm just going to go." And I'm like, "But Jen, it's the law that you need to stop at a red light.
I look left to right. No one's coming. There's no camera, you know, to give me a ticket. I'm going to go."
First red light, but the second red light that you ran was on Randolph, and there were six of them, and you go, "Oh, I didn't see the red light." And I was like, "Jen, there were literally six red lights right in front of you."
Bro, don't blow up her spot so hard that somebody's going to go, "Oh, I'm going to go look at the cameras and see if that's Jen BT."
Yeah, that one was shut. You slam on your... This is what I don't understand. Okay. So I go, "Jen, it's a red light." You slam on your brakes. I hit your dashboard. You go, "Eh." And you keep going. Like, you did stop, but then you were like, "I don't feel like sitting here." And you kept going.
I don't consider that one a major red light. That wasn't a major one. I'll stop at the major one.
The ones where other cars are present. That's when
she'll
stop.
Such a California stop.
Oh, don't even get me together with stop signs. My mom, I fly through stop signs.
Oh, my God.
I always get pulled over by cops for stop signs. And then I char my way out or I cry.
I almost wanted over
I'm
here.
Like, "Please don't give me a ticket."
No, yeah. She's a fugitive.
No, tell them about today.
Oh, okay. No. So today's was actually really funny. And we were quietly driving to work. We just stopped at Dunkin' to get our coffee. Oh. We're making our way in. And all of a sudden, I look up and I'm like, "Hey, Jen, I think you're driving on the wrong side of the road."
And I was. And a truck was coming towards us.
And she was. So we survived. And this is the miracle that is.
But Nina, I am in awe of your instincts to be calm and patient at all times, because that's literally the voice you used when I was on the other side of the road with the truck coming towards us. You're like, "Hey, Jen, I think you're on the other side. You may want to move." And you were just calm as a cucumber. I'm like, "Oh, crap." And I'm like, and you know, Edge, "Oh, my God. Oh, my God." So I'm in awe of your instincts to just be so calm as a cucumber at all times. I mean, how do you do it? How do you stay so calm under pressure?
I don't know. And I don't know that that's true. I mean, for that particular situation, I was just saying, you know, beggars can't be choosers, because this week an Uber would have cost me like $50 for one way, a ride that would normally cost $8. So thank you for being the hero and getting us to work and not costing me $50.
Still, we almost died. I think you're like, life is more precious than a $50 Uber ride, but I appreciate it.
Nina is just a very patient person, I've learned.
Am I?
So I think so.
You do?
At least with me. I believe a little bit.
I believe it. You are a very patient person. I mean, that was a situation where I would have probably reacted like Ange and been like, "Oh my God, what the hell, Jen BT?" And you were just, that says a lot about who you are. You're just such a calm, amazing person under pressure. God. And I think I needed the calmness, because maybe with the ice and the snow, I would have swerved. We could have probably died. We could have probably crashed and burned.
I don't want to think about the what ifs, because we didn't. We didn't die today.
Thank the Lord.
Not today. But I don't know that I feel that I am what you guys are saying that I am, but thank you.
I feel like you're the type of person where inside you're boiling and you're so mad, but you know that that's not going to get you anywhere. So you're like, "Okay, let me see how to read you. Let me try to help you. Let me talk to you." Because I mean, I don't know. Props to you, because I do not have that skill.
That was bad. So are you going to get into the car with me again? Like, are you? Can I drive you home, or is this relationship over?
Oh, no, we're not
the
done
girl
yet.
Gang driving to work at 4 a.m.
No, I'm not. We're not done yet.
Okay. See, thank you.
I need a ride home today.
You're giving me another chance. So how many chances do you give a person, Nina, until you're like, I'm done. I don't feel safe, or this isn't working for me.
Well, you know, this was a new rule that I realized that I have this week, actually. And part of it is Ange, because she is
Lord.
She's the producer of Gabe and I's show. And she also is somebody that I'm around a lot for work and social. And she and Jen, I'm sure you can relate to this, because you and I are at different places in our lives.
Yeah.
Than Ange is. Jen is a mom. She's got two kids. She's mm-hmm. married. So your patience is also on another level for
Ooh,
different things.
I don't know about all that, but thank you.
But with Ange, or anybody, like if you have that one friend that keeps coming to you with like the same problem and they're doing it over and over and over again, whether it's work or relationships, it's like you have two chances to get that right. Otherwise, now you're the definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over and over again, hoping for a different result. Well, now you're actually certifiable. So with Ange, I just use one word. Grow. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise I will start yelling. And that using grow is kind of a new thing to kind of push you in that direction so you understand. Because if I yell at you and I'm like, that's so wrong, figure it out, you don't get it.
Right.
And what I'm saying is grow. Mm-hmm. Because you sound like you did, I don't know, last week when you complained about the same thing.
Yeah. No, I feel like I receive...
You receive that.
Yeah, I receive that better than when I get yelled at and when I'm like talked down to, because then I feel scared. I feel like,
well, it's disrespectful. Nobody should be talking down to people. That doesn't make you want to do.
It doesn't make me feel empowered.
Anything correctly.
Yeah,
you're right. I do a lot better with feedback. Critical, feedback versus being yelled at big time as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost invite it, though. And I think we've talked about this before. It's like, whether it's a coworker or if it's your good friends, like, you don't actually care about me if you're not calling me out when I'm doing something wrong.
Keeping me in check.
You don't actually care about me if you didn't point out what I had done, because that means you want me to keep making mistakes. And that's my belief. Mm. So I think that the friends that are closest to me and the people I respect the most are the ones that tell the truth. So, you know, simple as, does this make me look fat? Yeah, I think you look better in the pink one. I'd be
you're right.
Cool. Thank you. You're a real one. Those are the type of people that I want to surround myself with.
Exactly.
I used to be so scared when she would ask me certain things. She's like, is my makeup messed up? Is my eyebrow messed up? And I'm like, no. But now I get the...
I need to get better with that. I really do. I think I would be that person, and I hate admitting this, like, if you had broccoli stuck in your teeth and I didn't really know you that well, like, I probably would let you walk with it. And it's not because I don't care about you. I think it's because, like, ooh, I don't want to, like, my instinct is, ooh, I don't want to hurt your feelings or make you feel nervous, and oh, this is awkward, I'm just gonna walk away. But I remember one of the first times I met you, Nina, and I think it is a great value to have to just let people know what's going on, because when we first started working together, my mascara was all messed up, and you said you don't even remember this, but you said to me in such a nice way, like, oh, you know, your mascara is running a little bit. And I was like, oh my God. And so I looked in the mirror, we're both in the bathroom, and sure enough, I had mascara all running all down my face, and someone else would have let me walk around
That's
looking
so
all scary.
That's
and
so I don't even remember
see,
that.
This is a reminder to me. Don't let people walk around with runny mascara, with the wrong clothes and broccoli in their teeth. Like, just tell them, and you're probably doing them a favor, right?
I think you're 100% doing them a favor, because you know what the other thing is, too? It's like that secondhand embarrassment. Mm-hmm. So some people don't tell people because they feel more embarrassed than the person actually feels. But if you just kind of step outside of that, I mean, this may be a big ask for somebody that's still very uncomfortable with that type of conversation, but you practice with the people that are closest to you, because that's what, in my opinion,
that's true.
My humble opinion, you're more valuable to the people in your circle when you just tell the truth.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, that's true.
Yeah, that is definitely true. I do have some friends, though, and maybe I need to get better at this too, but I'll admit it, where sometimes I feel like they just need to learn how to go through those mistakes because I see them making the same patterns. Mm. And I don't want to be a nag. Like, I have one friend that just dates and dates and dates, and I don't ever feel like she's finding the right person or maybe looking for the right things in the person. But I just want her to be happy, and I don't want to feel like that friend that's just putting her down. So I'm like, you know what? I'll just let her do her thing. She's excited about this new man. You go do you. Oh, good for you. Good for you. And we can, you know, being friends, we can kind of joke. Like, I'm like, how old is he?
Yeah.
He's 10 years younger than you. I'm like, girl, okay, go ahead.
Suck the life out of
back.
Him.
Yes.
Oh, God. I always say that, man. The young ones, they give you life.
Yeah, they do.
And you move on to something else. But I know what you mean. I have a very good friend that is the same way. And I think her and I both have graduated into talking to each other in a different way. Like, it's a no judge zone.
Yeah.
So even still, like, there's one person in my life that still gets me and I sound like a broken record. But in my heart, in my head, I understand this is not that. I just still have lingering feelings and it's just something I have to let go. Ignore me. Yeah. I don't need advice. I don't need anything. Just ignore me. I'm speaking out loud. Mm-hmm. But with her, there were patterns, like you're saying, like with your friend, where she was making the same mistakes. And because we're such good friends, like, I would be excited about this new person. And then she would tell me about how he was acting different. So then I'd have to ask, well, did you send him naked pictures again? Were you calling him all day long? Are your expectations too high? Like, why didn't you communicate? And I'm not blaming her. And of course, I say these things in a conversational way, because sometimes it's not telling somebody what to do. It's asking them questions to probe them, to find out the reason why they're doing the things that they're doing. And a lot of the time they don't know. And when you sit with that and you come up with what your why is, I've talked about what your why is in regards to why you work or what your dreams are, but also what's your why in any of the things that you do. And then you start to process it different, and that's how you can make changes.
Ooh, I love that. I feel like you definitely expanded my relationships by just saying that, because I feel like I'm the friend that you go to when you want to hear what you want to hear or you want to feel good. I want to feel good. I'm having a bad day. I'll call Jen BT. She'll drop what she's doing. We're going to get drinks. She's going to tell me it's okay. She's going to tell me everything's fine. Don't worry. Because I'm usually that friend. And I don't know if it's because I'm a fix-it type of person that no matter what, I don't want you to feel like something's wrong with you. Let's just have fun. And I want to make you smile no matter what. So I probably need therapy for that. I never had therapy. But
no, but then let me ask you your why. So, I love that you've defined yourself as I'm the fun friend.
Yeah.
I'm the friend that's going to be your escape from stuff. But why are you being held back from telling people how you truly feel? Because when you are open, I've seen Jen BT be so savagely honest in many situations, and it's in you and it's like in her head immediately, but you are a kind person. But why are you holding back from telling them what you truly feel?
Yeah, I have no idea. I'm just going to have to explore that. Me and you and Ant, let's get some cocktails. Let's explore those feelings. I have no idea. I do not have an answer for that at all. I have no idea.
But great. So now you started a conversation with yourself by thinking, why do I do that?
Yeah.
But again, to your self-awareness, this is one thing that we have to appreciate about Jen. She knows she's a bad driver. She knows she's your feel-good friend. And you know what your roles are.
Yeah.
But sometimes I think that a lot of us put ourselves in this position to be the fixer. I'm a fixer too.
Oh, you are.
I'm a, you know, let me take care of you type of a person, to the point where it's exhausting me, so I don't do it as much as I used to. But you put yourself in a box and you almost limit yourself and you don't get to be more than that. Like, why can't you be the friend that says no? You know, why can't you be the person that says, like, let's not drink tonight? I mean, I don't know, whatever it is, even though who would say that?
Yeah.
You know what I
think? No, you're right about that.
I think it's also the people you surround yourself with, because I know there's some people in my life where I can be like, you're fucking up. You sound crazy. But then there's some people that I know will flip out and be like, you don't know what you're talking about. This, this, and that. Or that you can't call out because of how they will, they won't receive it. They'll reject it.
That's a very good point, because I do have people in my life where I will be brutally honest with, and maybe it's just my delivery, because I feel like you do a very good job, Nina, of saying things that are honest, but in a way that wouldn't crumple someone. So maybe it could be my delivery. But I do have those friends that I kind of have to tiptoe around, because they're really not good at criticism, no matter what. They just see it as you attacking them, no matter how nice I think I'm putting it.
Right. I know. And I think that that's one of those moments too, where it's like, grow.
Grow, just grow. Yeah.
Not you, them, grow.
Yeah.
But to fix it, I mean, I don't even know that you can necessarily fix it in those moments. Like with my friends that are that way too, I almost frame it in a way that it makes it their idea. That's a manipulation, and I'm fully aware. And I don't know why. Like my mom sometimes even is that way. Like she doesn't take criticism very well, and she would say I don't either, because the way that her and I communicate isn't, we don't receive each other's communication, which caused a lot of conflict in over the years. But I think now my mom and I are at a place where I've learned that she needs to know why, like, this makes me feel, or I see that you're feeling this way and you want to validate somebody's feelings. So then once you validate somebody, then you can take it a step further and pose questions again. So it's a manipulation, but at the same time, it's not. It's opening somebody's mind to see themselves and not feel attacked. Because anytime somebody is defensive or won't receive it or any type of criticism, it's because they're insecure. Right. They're being defensive. And listen, we are all guilty of this.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
Myself included. I don't like to hear things about myself, but I know how important it is to receive it. And I think that it takes a mature person to be able to receive a certain amount of criticism. And I think the three of us in this room had to get good at that quick because of what we do for a living.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But then there are certain types of criticisms that I won't receive. Like, if you're going to talk to me about how I deal with relationships, fine. And this is my flaw. This is my self-awareness.
But don't tell Nina how to do her job, let me tell you.
Don't tell me how to do my job. That's my baby. Mm. That is what I've sacrificed my life for. And I will take criticism and input, and I want to grow. That's not what I'm saying. But when you come at me and say, you should. Mm-mm. Oh, no. Oh,
don't use those words. Yeah.
That's when I'm not patient anymore. And that's when the fire comes out.
I don't blame you. Yeah.
So, but it's the positioning, like you're saying. And so, I mean, I don't know. You just have to know your people. Did you guys ever read I didn't read it. And I probably should make that homework. Actually, the five love languages.
Oh my gosh, yes, I love that book.
I've always wanted to read that book, and I haven't read it yet.
Me too, because I think that it's supposed to be, you know, for lovers or whatever, like romance. You know, everybody needs to be loved a different way. Mm-hmm. But I think there's something to the way that people are communicated
100%
too. Mm-hmm. You know, and so God, we really should make that
book is
you
so good. I will read that again, because I learned so much about myself with how I receive things. Well, literally how I receive things and how I give out things. So I feel like my love language is physical touch. And I'm more of like an emotional based person when it comes to love. Like, I just want time, I just want attention, I don't care about stuff, but I love to give stuff, if that makes sense.
Yeah. But
what are the other languages? Do you remember?
So there's physical touch. There's giving and receiving. I don't remember. Yeah. I read it back.
Words of affirmation.
Well, yeah, words of affirmation.
I think that one's my love language.
I think it's mine too.
Yeah.
And time.
And time.
Dang, yeah. Okay, so if you're listening, you're like, guys, you're so stupid. I read the book. These are what the five love languages are. Well, okay. Well, we just gave ourselves homework, and Jen didn't know that she was going to be stepping into homework, but I think it would be cool. How many weeks do we need? Like one? Two?
I think we need, yeah.
Yeah. It's
once we get
the
book.
It's an easy read.
So yeah. Once we
read.
Get the book.
I need this book in my life, because let me tell you this. I think because I allow people to overstep my boundaries for the sake of, I need to be kind to you and I don't want to see you crumple for anything I do, or always being, you know, the fun friend or the nice friend that you go to. I feel like a part of me, it just makes me a little callous. And I didn't even realize this. So some other homework to put with the love language is that I was with two girlfriends not too long ago, and they said they took this quiz, and it was, how difficult of a person are you? And it's a pie chart, and there's different sections of it, and your score is based on, you know, these, like, callousness was one. I forget what the other sections are. I'll send you guys the link.
Yeah, I
and
take
I don't think I'm a difficult person. So I took the test, and apparently I am a difficult person. And the big part of the pie chart was callous. Like, just have, like, just becoming very callous and very hard, kind of, Ange, what you said about not trusting people. Yeah. Maybe just because people are always overstepping your boundaries, you just become a little hard-edged. And it blew my mind, because that was the first time I ever was self-aware that I was very guarded. And I was like, I don't think I'm a very guarded person. And of course, one of the females is a social worker / therapist. And she's like, I see that in you.
I do too.
She's like, I got the same score and the same type pie chart. And my other friend, who I do find very difficult, she isn't a difficult person to be with. And I was like, I'm just, I don't know what is going on. But she's a very successful director of an organization. So of course she can't be that difficult, right?
No,
she has to be a leader.
It feels like what the difference is between you and this person is that you perceive as difficult is that that's a person that knows what their boundaries are, knows how to ask for what they need, can communicate clearly like what all of that is. Meanwhile, you don't.
Right.
But you are starting to build up whatever animosity that you feel towards people that usually take so much from you. And I get to that point too.
That's where I'm at right now.
It's exhausting sometimes.
Yes. Oh my God, it's so exhausting. And you probably even heard, it wasn't even that long ago. I was like, I'm sick of it. Everybody comes to me. They're trying to suck the life out of me. I need, and you need to plug yourself in sometimes. Yeah. My little baby meltdown is, where am I supposed to plug in?
Yeah.
How do I get energy back? And so that's why I turned into an introvert and I just stay at home and watch movies.
Other than a vacation, I really do want to maybe like ask people on Instagram or Facebook, like what's a way to unplug or recharge without obviously taking a vacation, because we can't do that right now.
Hobbies. But find something you're good at.
You're right.
I mean, there's a list. I know the answers. It's just like, but then you have to do them.
You have to have the energy to do them, but you don't have the energy. So yeah, where am I getting the energy?
Oh my God, it's a vicious cycle.
Ugh. Oh no. I just thought the answer was wine. It's not wine.
It is wine.
It's wine.
It's
wine,
not to-go cocktails.
Wine is how you shut off. I know where the off button is.
It's not just Bridgerton.
Yes, it is Bridgerton. Oh man. Everybody needs a guilty pleasure, which is why this podcast is called Guilty Pleasures and Growing Pains. So at the end of this deep conversation, I decided I wanted to leave you with a tantalizing tip.
Oh, I love the alliteration.
I
get turned on with alliteration. Anyways, keep going.
Okay, that's another conversation for another day. Ange gets turned on when people like give her facials. Like she starts sliding off of the chair because she's so turned on.
I could see that. That'd probably be me.
Oh my God, you weirdos.
I think it's a touch thing.
No, we're going to next podcast.
Okay, because I wouldn't say that. The only thing closest to that makes me excited is food. So anyway.
Next podcast.
Tantalizing tip for the day. I just think that it's cold outside. There's a lot of snow. People need validation. They need plugs. They need all of those types of things. So today, I actually talked about this on the air, is the importance of touch. But I also learned this week that, ladies, if you would like to achieve a higher level of, I'm trying to not say the word, what's a higher level of satisfaction from your interaction of intimacy, wear socks.
Oh, yeah.
Socks.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I don't wear socks. I don't enjoy wearing socks during sex. And so it said if you wear socks, women specifically, because we get more pleasure from heat. So if our feet are warm and if we feel the heat of their bodies in warmer rooms and stuff, for women, and maybe not everybody, because if you're listening and you don't agree, well, then you're the exception to the rule.
Put on the socks. Just put on the socks and get back to us.
Now everybody's got a drawer next to their bed. That's
now
the sock
you all
drawer.
Have homework.
Well, now I am. Yeah, that sock drawer ASAP.
Now everybody's got homework. Get your socks next to your bed and get the 5 love languages. Okay. Jen, thank you for being here.
Thanks, you, ladies. Jen. Wow. I've learned so much in this small amount of time. So thank you. I feel like I growed as a person.
Grew.
I grew.
You grew.
Love you.
Okay.
Jen, grow.
We just got off a show and my brain, you know, good luck with me in the cars, ladies. I'm driving you home after this podcast.
I can't wait to see what you do next.
So if I can't even say grow right in past tense, then I don't know how I'm going to get us home.
For us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.